Welcome to the Robin Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
Well, I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Big, hairy American winning machine.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast. I just want to be
8 days a week. Welcome into the latest edition of the Robin Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent the Clemson Tigers. We do not suck in the sport of football. We're your reigning defending national champion. We're also in the college football playoff final four, the projected four, I guess. We're in the top four this week.
About time.
Stop it. So anyway, I have a co-host. His program is a shit show. His coach is a liar. He is the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It is great to be a Gamecock. It's great to see the basketball team, both basketball teams, doing their job. It's great to see graduates in the next level dominating their competition, like Jadeveon Clowney in defensive player of the week.
So hold on. Clowney doesn't have his degree, so let's not go there. Clowney does not have his degree.
Of our school.
You said graduate. That means graduated. Well, that means get his degree.
I'm talking about graduates.
Mean what you say, sir.
Me,
that's big with you.
I'm one person with a graduate, but Clowney, yeah. Who is a has his, you
he,
know,
he doesn't. He doesn't have a. He doesn't have a degree from South Carolina, sir. So
well, he left early. He was so good. He left early. You know, we don't give off other guys. Degrees at Carolina. You have to earn a degree.
Get the hell out of here with all that nonsense.
We don't do it. If we went to UNC, you'd have 6 degrees right now.
God, here we go. Anyway. That is my co-host, the comrade Mike Dobreski. He is, of course, I'm beginning to think he might be the dumbest football fan on the face of the planet. We have several things we're going to go over tonight, including giving our picks in the Callaway's Pick'em Challenge. Currently, one of the hosts actually leads in this. One of the other hosts is 9 picks back. Imagine that. I don't know how that happened.
Plenty of time. It's going to be a great comeback. We need people to get in the bowl challenge, though. Go to robincomrade.com and click on the bowl challenge. Get in. We've only got 2 people in right now. I know people are waiting. But, you know, obviously, if you win the contest, you get a free entry into the bowl contest. But
yep.
We'll refund your money. If you win the contest and you paid in, I'll refund your money, or I'll just give you a free entry into the bracket challenge for March Madness. I mean, either way, you decide. But go ahead and get your money in.
Either way, it doesn't matter. We'll get you in. You need to get into the contest because it's cool. All right, so there's that. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about what President Castlin said, which was interesting. It wasn't exactly, in my opinion, the biggest vote of confidence. But we'll get into that momentarily. Let's thank our sponsors. Of course, Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. We'll be having our live show there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2 weeks from this Friday. Get your ass to Callaway's. The deadline for the bowl challenge, Tyler, is what, kickoff of the first game? Mike, which is
yes.
Like December.
It's
like
December 20th, I believe.
December 20th. So.
I think it's the 20th or 21st. It's a little bit later this year. Usually it's like the 15th, but the 20th, 21st. I mean, you could actually pay it before.
I think it's the 21st.
You could actually get in a little bit late. You just won't have those games count. But, but get in and get your picks in.
Yep.
And do it.
Get in, get your picks in. It's going to be good. But don't forget Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. We are a little more than 2 weeks away from our big live show there. It's going to be a good time. We always have a good time.
And by the way,
live
just
show.
For scheduling wise, we will not have a Wednesday show that week. Okay. So,
yeah.
Before Thanksgiving.
We're not doing a show the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Also, we're not doing a show on Christmas Eve either.
No show on Christmas Eve.
I think does Christmas fall on like what day does Christmas fall? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Hold on, I'm looking at it right now.
I'm not sure. But we will do a show next week.
No, Christmas night. We're not doing a show Christmas night.
No.
Yeah, that's not happening.
We will
do
a show next week. You know what next week is, Rob? What's next Wednesday?
What is
next Wednesday?
I don't know.
You should know.
How should I know?
It's the birthday of the two favorite people of you and your wife.
What?
Babel Sweeney's birthday is next Wednesday, and so is mine.
My favorite.
I want to go change my birth certificate.
Oh, God.
That really ruins my birthday. What I hate is every year the same people who forget about that will send me stuff like, do you know your birthday is the same day of Dabble? Yeah, I know that. And it ruins the whole day.
Lisa says Fritz von Kumbucket wants in the challenge. Fritz von Kumbucket is banned.
He's been banned from all bowl challenges, from all contests.
He can't get back in. And if he keeps running his mouth to me on Facebook, we're gonna
I haven't Photoshop if he fills any more dumb entry forms with fake names, I'm gonna find a way to spam his email account so he keeps on.
Yeah, well, here's what we're gonna do. If he keeps spamming our email, I want the listeners of the Robin Comrade podcast to go online and find pictures of big penises, and then we will give you his email address. And I want you to email a big giant penis to Fritz Von Cumbucket. I'm asking you to do that if you're a fan of the show. And screenshot what you sent to them. We'll white out your name, and then we'll post it and laugh at him because he's got a box full of dicks. So there you go.
Last week I counted 22 different entries of all, like, fake names. Like, it would have, like, and I erased them all before I post the things up there. Right. But it's all, like, Roll Tide, you know, stuff with our names in it, and, you know, like, you know, entry, you know, so it's just like having to go through the spreadsheet and get all those out.
I mean, so, I'm an adult, but I can be childish, and I will be childish. I want giant pictures of dicks sent to this guy, and I know that we have the folks that will do it, so have at it. If he keeps doing it, I'm going to give you his email address. We'll put it out there. It'll be the dick email address. I want pictures of dicks sent to this guy. Maybe then he'll back off and stop being an idiot. anyway, but go to Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart. Basically, 2 weeks from this Friday will be our live show. It's going to be a good time. Several of the folks that interact with the show I know are going to be there. I know Lisa's going to be there. I'm trying to get Kale Hall to show up. That would be fun. I could just sit there and goof with Kale Hall.
Yeah, I need Kale. That's a big get right there if you can get Kale to come.
Yeah, I'm like the head booker in charge. The comrade doesn't do shit. He just shows up. It's kind of weird. But show up to the live show. We are going to have a good time.
What do I usually do? I usually go, what time does the show start, Rob? 6. Okay, I'll be there about 5:30.
Yeah, and I'm the guy that has to unload, load everything, make sure all the sound stuff's right.
I do help you clean up, though.
Oh, God.
I help you clean up.
Anyway.
I help you clean up. I like to arrive there and everything's already set up for me. You know, like Paul McCartney.
You're so stupid. Anyway, that is going to be our live show. It does benefit Community Options. Would love to have you guys come out for that. It's going to be on 2 weeks from this Friday, so the 29th of November. Maybe Fritz will be at the live show. If he is, we will throw dicks at him. There you go. Anyway, also, DNC Trucking and Transport, the No Spin Zone segment with the comrade. Comrade, read away.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Okay. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson is my national champion. We are staring down the barrel of a 4-8 season. I apologize to the ACC for speaking negative things about them when my peasant team can't compete in the Sun Belt. I admit our football games are used primarily for the female students to try out for casting couch in the parking lots. God, that was horrible. We are staring down the barrel of a 4-8 season. It is shameful to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers. That video was horrible.
That line about the casting couch was straight from Dennis Wilson. He sent me that in a text message.
Horrible video.
That is hilarious. All right, there we go with that. The No Spin Zone segment from the comrade. Comrade, before we get into, we got two things before we do our picks tonight. One, the latest college football playoff rankings. The only problem I have with them is that Georgia should not be ahead of Alabama or Oregon or Oklahoma or Minnesota. They should be like 9th or 10th. I know that you think Georgia's going to be your national champion, but I'm talking about what they've done as of right now. If I were picking, I would have them much lower than they are.
Listen, and this is, you know, once again, I think these things are dumb. Okay, right. I think they should wait to the end of the year and do them. Okay, and so it's good fodder, whatever it is. But the bottom line is, if Georgia beats Auburn this week, if they beat A&M next week, if they go and beat LSU in Atlanta, they will be in the playoff. Okay, and they'll deserve to be in the playoff. More importantly, okay, so it doesn't really matter what they are now. I mean, they see. Here's the thing: when you do these every week, they have to explain them. And then what you explain, you have to give a reason, and the reasons don't make sense because it contradicts the reason they gave the week before and the week they give next week. They have to try to make a thing, okay? It's just dumb, okay? I will say this, though. If I'm Baylor, I'm wondering what in the world is you know, is the problem with the committee. I think Baylor is the team that's getting screwed the most. It doesn't really matter at the end of the year. If they went out, you know, they have a chance of being in there. But all the teams are above them. It's just crazy. But once again, it's a dumb.
Look, let me ask you something. If the playoff were today, would you put Baylor in over Georgia?
If it was today, right? Today, yeah. If it was, say, Georgia's and not the ball in the blender. No, they haven't done enough. They got a loss,
right?
And they have two good wins and have done enough. But I never said they belong right now. I'm saying if they continue to win, their resume is going to be unreal, even with the one loss. And by the way, as the Gamecocks look crappier and crappier, it makes Georgia that loss look worse. So the Gamecocks should just step it up and actually win a couple more games there. You know, maybe beat if they would have beaten Tennessee and beaten, Appalachian State, then that loss doesn't look quite as bad. But I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they're saying that Georgia loss looks worse and worse by the week, and that was a shot at my Gamecocks. But if they went out, you're talking about wins over Notre Dame, over Florida, over A&M, which is the only thing Bama's done to beat A&M, okay, over A&M, and over Auburn, okay, and over LSU. I mean, that trumps the loss. You know, that kind of doesn't wipe it away, but that kind of, in a way, it does, because no other team will have that many quality wins in there. And so, can they do it? That's another story. I think they are. I think they're peaking. I think they're playing better and better. I like their defense. The defense is really, really good. Their offense has been kind of crappy all year, but it's getting a little better. The receivers are young and getting better. I think their play calling has been a little bit suspect against us. It was. I was thankful for their play calling. I think if they get back to the basics and give Swift the ball, hand it off to him, throw it to the bottom of the backfield with him, take shots downfield, I think they're going to beat everyone on their schedule. I really do.
All right. Well, let me give you this. I've got a scenario where you can not have an SEC team in the college football playoff. Would you like to hear
it? Model, yeah.
This is the chaos model. Auburn needs to beat Georgia and Alabama, and then Auburn will still be out, but Georgia beats LSU in the SEC championship game. When that happens, you'll have a 12-1 team in LSU, an 11-2 team in Georgia that'll have a loss to Auburn, a 10-2 Auburn team that'll have the win over Alabama and the win over Georgia, and Bama will be at 10-2. If that happens and you have one loss champions, if Clemson and Ohio State are undefeated, and you have one loss champions in Colorado and in Oregon and
Utah.
Oregon and Oregon and Utah. Well, no, because they play in the same conference.
Yeah.
But Oregon and that, Oklahoma. Yeah. Okay, if Oregon and Oklahoma are one loss conference champions, and that following scenario happens, South will burn down because the SEC will not have a team in the college football playoff.
Well, that if that happens, it'll be great TV that weekend to see what they do. I think that LSU,
that would be tough to have on the committee, though. You have to admit that.
I think LSU would probably still, I don't know. I have to kind of look, but LSU is still a really good shot at getting in that scenario, depending on what the game was like. Now, if Georgia blows them out,
yep,
then I think they're done. But if it's a close game and whatever, right. I'm just saying, I can
for
see.
For me, look, you and I can argue back and forth on this all day long, but for me, I think you need to be a conference champion. Now, I get the idea of putting four there.
I think that too. We always say, but I think it's the four best conference champions.
Right. If you're
they
not,
don't do that, though. They don't do
if
that.
If you're not good enough to win your division, you shouldn't be one of the four best teams in the country. But anyway, let's move on from that, because we can debate that pretty much all night. I want to talk a little bit about what President Castlin said with Will Muschamp. Did you get the exact quote on that? Because I'll kind of give it to you. I don't have it right in front of me, but it was basically, Will Muschamp is my coach for the next two games, is basically what he said. And then we'll evaluate each coach at the end of the season. He did say it's kind of hard to do the $18 million. Mm-hmm. You and I have both said this on this show. He's not going anywhere, okay?
He's got next year.
He's got next year, and Ray Tanner has essentially, that extension he gave him has screwed up that football program. And I know you're a Muschamp guy, but the reality is that it needs to be better.
The one thing I'll bring up about this, though, is that it's not like... What gets me is that everyone acts like we're the only school that did this. Like, this is the trend. This is what you do to your coaches. You give them. Now, listen, I know people think Muschamp's a joke, and but at the time, he had just won 9 games, okay? And Gus Malzahn was on the hot seat, okay? And Auburn likes to hire people that they've had on their staff before. And there was talk that Auburn could go after Muschamp. And they were, oh, that would be the dumbest thing in the world. But that even that little talk, and I'm sure Muschamp's agent was kind of, you know, and that's why you do those things. And it can bite you. And that's the whole thing. Muschamp likes it because it gives him security. The Gamecocks like it because it makes it tough for someone to come steal the coach. Now, obviously, the next year wasn't as good, and this year's been lousy. But if he backed it up and won 9 more games next year, all of a sudden now that you have that number there where teams can't come get him. Or if they do come get him, they have to pay a lot of money. So, I mean, that's what they do that stuff
Look,
for.
I'm not,
looks bad now, I'm saying. But that's what most ADs would have done.
I understand that. But the reality is that it is a results-driven business. Okay, and after 4 years, he'll have the most losses by a coach at South Carolina in a 4-year period. That's not exactly something that you want on your resume. But the first thing that he comes out and says in his press conference, he talks about, we've won more games than a lot of people have here, which they did. But then you fall flat on your face, and you end up losing really bad. And this season, and I know that people are going to like say, well, Rob's just being a Clemson guy. From the outside looking in, this season looks like a complete shit show. And there has to be somebody that's going to be taken. That's going to be the fall guy for this. I think it's going to be Brian McClendon. And the sad thing is that if it is him, who are you going to get to come here knowing that Will Muschamp is essentially on the hot seat next year? That's the thing Gamecock fans need to think about.
I think it's going to come here, but I'll get to that in a second. But this is what I'm saying now. The job is much tougher now. Because he's in this situation where he's on the hot seat now, and it's not hot because they can't really get because of the buyout. But basically, the problem is he's being talked about in a sense that he's a lame duck coach in a way like next year's his last year, as he gets something done.
Yep.
And that makes it hard to recruit. That makes it hard to go get an offensive coordinator, as just mentioned. And so his job gets tough.
It's sort of like Holbrook.
I think he's stressed out.
Do you think it's like Holbrook?
I think what's that?
Do you think he's almost like Holbrook was? Where the fan base is essentially turned on him?
It's a little bit different because the baseball program has sky-high expectations. It's like you go to Omaha or you're the worst coach ever. I don't think Gamecock football is like that. It's more like, you should be able to get the 8 wins every year. And he's not doing that. But it's getting to the point, like, once you lose all the fans, then it's, and here's the thing. He can win a lot of people back, And I know you think it's impossible, but I don't think it is. I mean, we beat Georgia. If they beat Clemson, suddenly the whole thing turns. And not that fans will go, go give him an extension tomorrow as he beats Clemson. But it's like suddenly now the whole thing, he needs that. He needs to win that game. Because I think that's the only thing that can get him to be here in the 2022 season, okay, is beating Clemson. Otherwise, next year is a trial year. And,
right.
And, of course, I don't know how much we want to talk about this anyway, but we both have our people we talk to, and I think it's different people, but we're both hearing the same thing, and we're both hearing that, Tanner probably is not going to be here much longer. And once that starts, that the new AD comes in, he's going to come in and evaluate. And usually new ADs like to hire their own person. And at that point, he's got to do something really, really special next year to keep him going. And so it could start with beating Clemson this year and then going to the next year and suddenly gives him a little more grace, maybe gets another year to turn things around, and maybe then he survives and he's here 10 years from now. But it's getting now where, he needs
it's,
to
it's
do
dire, the, it's dire straits for this guy right now.
Yeah, and he knows that. That's why he's getting real – the press conference is getting real short because that's what he knows it. And the injury question they asked him, he – and here's the thing. you know, on the outside looking in, if you didn't know anything about Will Muschamp, I can make a case for you of why the season's been bad. I would say he lost a senior quarterback the first week of the season. He's playing with a freshman quarterback all year long. That's a tough thing. He's been, you know, he's had injuries here, but the problem is that he's had injuries every year he's coached, and it's coming out that he overworks his players. And when he was asked that question, he got real defensive. Usually, when you get real defensive, it's because he either knows deep down that his way is not working, and maybe if he knows that, maybe he'll make a change, or he's going to be stubborn and say, "I'm going to do it even more next year," because I, you know, if he does that, he'll be out of a job soon. But he's, you know, he's had Jeff Dillon with him too, I think, in Florida as well. So the same strength coach and same him all through this time. I think, you know, I just don't – they need to change that. That's the first thing I would tell him if I'm Caslin, if I'm Tanner. I'd say, listen, too many injuries. So whatever you're doing wrong.
Well,
Fix that and hire an OC.
Well, the thing is it's going to be tough to get an OC to go there, and I don't want to dwell on this all night, but the
I got a name for you, though. I got one guy I think will come.
All right, who is it?
Rhett Lashley, SMU offensive coordinator. Yeah. He was at Auburn with Muschamp. Okay, he's a Gus Malzahn kind of disciple. I think he would come here, and one, he'd get a nice pay raise. Two, you know, even though, now listen, the problem is you're going to a situation with a coach in the hot seat, but maybe he's thinking, I can go there, I can turn things around, and if things don't turn around, maybe I'm the interim guy. Maybe I get a shot at the head coaching job while they're searching. Maybe I get a year to prove myself. Maybe they're in the middle of the AD flux and they're not sure, and they let him coach a year. Maybe he becomes, you know, what Dabo did in terms of a different guy, but in terms of he got a shot, he wins a big game, and that's what they go with. Maybe they can't find anybody else to take the job, or they don't have the money, and they go with this young guy, and so you can do. So maybe that is something that might go. You know, Chad Morrison coming here. The people think Chad Morrison's not coming here. I keep on people bring this up all the time. One, I don't want him here, but two, he's not coming here for a variety of reasons. One, because he doesn't need to. He doesn't need the money. Okay, Arkansas is still paying him. Two, he's, you know, him and Dabo are close. I think it's kind of an unwritten rule that, you know, he wouldn't come to do this. And three, he's going to have better opportunities out there being OC at schools where there's not a guy in a hot seat. So,
well, I don't.
He's not coming here.
I don't think he's going to come here. But I think that what I think South Carolina needs to do is go with something like a Malzahn type offense, or an offense where you can work around the fact that your offensive line may not be as good. And I think that's something they need to do.
Luke Doty, I think, is the perfect quarterback for a Gus Malzahn offense.
Right.
You know, if the plug is in there. So, I mean, that's what I'm looking for. So my prediction is that Muschamp will make a change. McClendon, I think, will stay on staff, but he'll do something else, okay? I think he's a good recruiter and all those things, and he's a good coach in a lot of ways. I don't think he's, you know, maybe he, you know, I mean, listen, part of it too is it's hard to call plays with half your team injured too. So he did bring that up, which is true, but that's something that Muschamp needs to own. So I think that's my prediction. Rhett Lashley comes here next year, and you know, and tries to make it work, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, next year has the potential that it could be like, I mean, it could be mediocre, or it could be really, really bad. I mean, I'm talking like 2-10 right. Bad.
Well, the schedule's like that. It'll be one of the top three schedules in the country again next year. This year, I think we're two right now, or three.
I don't know. I mean, it's so, Mike, can you just admit it's a shit show down there right now?
They had games, and this is a good thing that Calzon said about penalties, and a lot of little things we don't do. I mean, there's a lot of games that if we just do a few other things, we win those games. We're 6-4 right now, and 6-4 right now, you're thinking, you know, this schedule's pretty good, but they just don't do the little things. That's on Muschamp. I mean, the penalties, we don't play smart. I mean, good Lord, we don't catch a punt. I mean, I can't tell you. I go back to the Missouri game again. I go back to the Tennessee game, okay? If you just catch punts, I don't say return them. Just catch them.
Yeah.
You know, don't let them roll. Don't let them bounce. Catch them. Just run. That's your job. And we don't do that. And it's all these little things we don't do. And then, of course, last week, we don't stop kickoff returns. I mean, you shouldn't have a Sun Belt team beat you on special teams. The big advantage that a Power Five school has over a school like that is you have more depth, more speed, and that's when special teams, you should destroy teams like that. That's what your big advantage is. So it's our special teams coach needs to go. That's the first thing I would do, because they have an awful this year. Awful special teams. Kick coverage, kick return, punt return, awful. But that's my prediction. Brett Lashley, remember the name, my prediction, he comes in, and I think Tanner is gone at some point in the next few months. I think he's gone on his own, kind of on his own.
Right.
I don't think he won't get fired. I don't think they'd do that to him. I think he stays somewhere in the university as a, you know, as a whatever. Maybe he'll coach the baseball team.
There's nothing wrong with Coach Kingston.
No, be like his bench coach. Be his bench coach.
Oh, that wouldn't like, work. That's dumb as shit, Mike. Holy shit, dude.
Be like Don Zimmer, just sitting there. Hey, you know. No,
yeah, that's not going to work. If the two disagree on something, Tanner's going to look at him and be like, "My name's on the wall, stupid. Come on, man."
I'm joking. I'm being sarcastic.
Oh God, that would be some shit there, though. That actually kind of funny.
So I think that's
going to
happen here in the next few months, and then I think that will happen, and then I think the new AD comes in, and I know who that's. I think we both know who that's going to be, and.
Put it out there. I'm hearing Brad Edwards is going to be your new AD. Who
I think that's pretty much it. I think, I mean, listen, I don't know when it's going to be. And the only thing I'll say about this, okay? I don't know when Tanner's gone. He may be here another year. He may be here another month. He may be here another week, okay? I think it's kind of almost a handshake, done deal agreement that when Tanner goes, that Brad Edwards is the guy.
Of course, former Gamecock.
Brad Edwards is. I will post a clip on Robin Conrad tonight to show you who Brad Edwards is. He could probably play today in our secondary and take someone's head off.
Your secondary is shit, so that doesn't really say much. But
he was a great NFL player too. He's a great NFL player.
He was a great NFL player. He's a defensive back.
He played in the 87 team there. So
he played. He was also the AD at Newberry, and then he's the AD up at George Mason right now.
Patriots.
Are they the Patriots? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I thought they were something else. Anyway,
they love him up there though. He's got an extension. He just signed an extension, which wouldn't be a big deal to pay that off. But they love him up there. He's doing a great job. They I think too, he's a football guy, and nothing against Tanner. But you know, I think they you know, the idea of having the football guy as the AD, that's how most schools do it. Your AD is in some ways has a football background, whether it be a former coach or, you know, so football ties. And I think you're going to see that. So that's will happen at some point. I'm not sure when that will happen.
Yep.
Exactly. But that's kind of what I see.
And I agree with that. I think it's going to be Brad Edwards. I think he'll get the nod there. I don't know how well he's going to do, but I do think he'll get the nod there. So with that, let's get into our picks, Mike. Why don't we start with the first pick on our board here, Minnesota at Iowa. And I will let you pick first since you are 9 picks back.
Oh, hold on. Let me pull up my thing here.
You don't know.
Hold on. That's what I get. I like to put my picks since I pick them. All right. So, okay, I'm back for this game a little bit. So this is a classic kind of setup game, right? They had a big win, Minnesota, letdown game. All the numbers tell me Minnesota's better and they'll win the game. All the power numbers, the crunching numbers I've done, Minnesota wins this game by 3. I'm a little bit worried about a night game at Iowa. They're having a blackout. Okay, it's my Iowa's game of the year. Minnesota's not won there in 20-some years, 21 years I think it's been.
Yep.
22 years. I'm pulling for Minnesota. I kind of like to see. I like to see them go to the Rose Bowl, if not go to the playoffs. But so I've been back and forth. I'm going to go ahead and take – this might be a good Fritz game. I can see them losing by 2 points. I can see them losing like 18-19-17. I really can see that. So I'm going to take the points of Minnesota and hope they pull out a win, but I don't feel great about this game. Taking the Golden Gophers.
I think that the Big Ten is kind of up and down all over the place. I think that they nutted at with the game last week. That's just my opinion. I think that I'm going to take Iowa to take the win at home. So I'm taking Iowa -2. I think, and obviously this is like their Super Bowl with Iowa. And Iowa's not a bad team, by the way. Let's make sure we put that out there. It's not like they're hot garbage, all right? They're a pretty good team. And I think that they're going to be tough to beat at home. So I'll take Iowa -2. Up next is Georgia at Auburn. I've been on the camp that I think that this game is at Auburn. And the line for us is what, like -3, and it's dropped to -2. I think Georgia's not very good, but the more and more I think about it, though, Auburn's starting to play some pretty good ball, but I don't really trust Bo Nix. I think that I've been really, really back and forth on this game, but I don't think Georgia's that good, so. It's been really interesting to me with this game, but I think I'm going to take Auburn and take the points at home. When I can't really see any difference between the two, I'll go with the home underdog. So I'll take Auburn and get the 3 points.
I think Georgia is going to beat them by double digits. I think the defense is too good. I think Bo Nix struggles at times. I think Georgia's defense has been really, really good. The only problem with Georgia's been is their offense has been kind of crappy this year. I think they're starting to peak a little bit. The receivers are getting better. Those freshman receivers are talented. They're getting better. I think their play calling is getting better. They're putting Swift more in the offense. I think Georgia is peaking at the right time. I think they beat Auburn by double digits. So I'm taking the Bulldogs.
All right. Oklahoma is at Baylor. Oklahoma is favored by 9.5 on the road. Mike, it's your pick, sir.
All right. I mentioned before, I think Baylor has to be just absolutely livid that one Oklahoma's ahead of them. Now, I know this one. There's two different things. Obviously, Vegas has Baylor as 9.5-point underdogs at home. Okay, so on the eye test, you know, which team is better? Oklahoma's probably better. But the whole point is that Oklahoma's got a loss at Kansas State where Baylor went and won a game, and Baylor has not lost a game this year. So it's all about who's better or who's more deserving, right? So if I'm Baylor, they're sitting there saying, how in the world is this one lost team ahead of us, okay, in the rankings? And we're at home getting 9.5 points. So I just think it's a perfect setup for Baylor and their coaching staff. I don't think Oklahoma, their defense is that great. I'm not sure Baylor wins this game, but they're going to keep it close. So I'm taking Baylor 9.5 points.
You know, logic says to take that many points at home with a team that's undefeated. But I have to give you this. When you look at Baylor's schedule for the season and the reason that they're not getting much love in the college football playoff, they have a win. These are their wins. They're 9-0. We'll give them that. They're 6-0 in conference play. They beat Stephen F. Austin, UTSA, the Roadrunners. They beat Rice. Those are three of the worst teams in the country, by the way. They did win over Iowa State. They beat Kansas State in Manhattan, so that's pretty good. Texas Tech, they beat them, and they beat the Mullet as well. And then West Virginia, they won that game. And in 3 OTs, they won over TCU. That game was at TCU. Mike, none of those teams are ranked. And I think that Baylor struggles on offense. I really, really do. I think that Oklahoma is going to fist them. Try not to curse, but I think that's what's going to happen with them. I really think they're going to roll over Baylor. And they're going to use that win over Baylor to bump themselves up in the rankings. So give me Oklahoma. I think they're going to win big on the road at Baylor. All right. Our next game is we'll do the South Carolina at Texas A&M game. You know, it's hard. And I said this before. I'm not picking the Gamecocks anymore. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the body language on that team, there are a lot of guys that just don't care. I've heard through some channels that Tavian Feaster is not going to play anymore this season. He doesn't want to get hurt. He doesn't, you know, tons and tons of stuff that I've heard. I don't know how healthy Brian Edwards is because Coach Muschamp is a liar and won't be honest with us on injuries, which we can argue that forever. But the reality is that if you don't, we won't know if Brian Edwards is going to play or Shai Smith is going to play until Saturday morning at warmups. Okay. We just won't know. And Muschamp won't tell us. Here's what I like about Texas A&M. They've finally gotten their shit together and they look kind of suspect a little bit against Arkansas, but they did win the game. They are 6-3 on the season. They have three losses. Two of them are, let's see, they lost to Clemson on the road. They lost to Alabama on the road. And I think they lost to Auburn. So no real shattering losses there for Texas A&M. I think Kellen Lamond is going to throw the ball all over the field on South Carolina. South Carolina will stay in that pissant zone that they play and look for him to tear it up. And I think they're going to win like 35-17.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I can't read this team. The one thing I'll say is our defense has been playing a lot better. Our offense, you know, I just don't know.
But, Mike, your defense hasn't been playing anybody here lately. Come on now.
Well, I mean,
they look good, but they ain't playing nobody.
You know, I wish if Shai Smith was healthy, that's a big, big difference because he can get behind those defenders in a few plays. I think the Gamecocks lose this game, but I think they're going to lose it in a gut-wrenching way. They'll do something stupid late. Make some, you know, who knows? Helsinki might catch his own pass and throw it through the goalpost for safety. Who knows? I think we lose this game by 4 to 7 points. You know, it'll be a heartbreaking loss. We might even have a lead in the fourth quarter. We might do that again. But I think we cover the 10-point spread. The power numbers are right on 10. This might be a good Fritz game, to be honest with you. I can see us Fritzing it out. But I'm going to take the points and hope maybe we get a break. Maybe a ball ricochets off someone's head and we pick it off for a pick six. Who knows? But I'm going to take the Gamecocks plus 10 because I have to make up ground. I knew you weren't going to take the Gamecocks. I knew, you know, I'm going to ride with Muschamp. I'm going down with Muschamp. If I go dead last in this contest, I'm going to ride with Boom.
If you finish dead last, are you going to have the Dick Trophy and you're going to put it in your house with dead pride? Last.
I'm not going to do that, but you know, but I'm going to go with... I'm going with the Boom.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go down with the ship.
Yeah, terrible, terrible. All right.
The dude in the Titanic just plays the music. As Cal Hall, Lewis Bowling getting their boats and get away.
No, they left. This is gonna be you by yourself. You'll be playing friggin'.
I know they're already in the boats.
You'll be playing that new Taylor Swift song, Lover.
Kale and Lewis already.
The first line in that song is, "We can leave our Christmas lights up until January." That's what you'll be saying to Muschamp.
Right.
We can leave our Christmas lights up till January. No bowl game.
I'm
it's
play
our
the
place.
Violin.
No bowl for us.
I'm going to go down with the ship.
Yeah, go down with the ship. All right, Wake Forest is at Clemson. Wake Forest is a 32.5 point underdog. The Wake Forest, if you look
did
at their
first
two...
One? Did I go first this one?
Did I go first? Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Once again, Clemson gets a huge break because the receiver is out. Surratt is out. The other receiver, Thompson, Scotty Williams, Scotty something?
Yeah.
I think he's, questionable. I picked against Clemson the last few weeks, and everyone thinks I do it because I hate Clemson, and that's not really true. That is true. I hate Clemson, but I'm not picking against them because I hate Clemson. Every week their numbers, like the power numbers, say that Clemson shouldn't cover. Like they're always like 4 or 5 points below the point spread. So I will give Clemson credit. They are playing above their power number, okay? Now, part of that, too, is that every week they play, they got five guys out injured in their team. So apparently, you know, whatever. And once again, this happens again. So this number here is like a 25 point spread. That's what it's supposed to be. So, you know, in part, must take Clemson because I've lost like the last 5 weeks taking picking against them. But I know if I do that, then they'll go ahead and they'll lay an egg and win by 10 this week. And now I feel like, you know, I should have stuck to my formula. I know you're taking Clemson because that's what you do. You're a homer.
That's completely not true. I picked against Clemson four times this season, but go ahead.
I think Clemson comes out this week. You know, they're happy now. They're back in the top four. They don't feel like the world hates them anymore. They're not angry, you know, at the world. They're not preaching and holding their Bibles up about how, you know, this is what happens to Jesus Christ when he got crucified, and we're the same people like that.
Seriously?
So we don't hear that stuff. That's what they do. Dabble gets, you know, he gets all religious on us. I think this week they're a little bit more even-keeled a little bit. So I don't think they're going to go for the throat this week. And maybe they don't play quite as much. I think they're more worried about making sure people stay healthy. And I think Wake Forest does enough to keep it within that 31 point. I can see it being a 41-10 game. And, you know, so we'll see. Hopefully Clemson's not throwing the ball late. But I'm going to say 41-10. And Dabble seems a little more happier this week. So I'm going to go with that. 41-10. Take Wake Forest to cover barely.
When I look at Wake Forest has one of the better offenses in the ACC, but the injury bug has hit them with their receiver that's going to be out. Ben is right about that. Clemson is 8-2 against the spread. And, you know, if you'd have picked Clemson in those 5 or 6 weeks that you didn't pick them, you might be in the middle of the contest here. But I've picked South Carolina several times this year, and they've burned me constantly. I picked them against Tennessee. I didn't pick them against Tennessee. I picked them against North Carolina. I picked them against several teams, and they ended up
Well, real quick, though, Clemson's 8-2 against the spread.
Right.
I have picked them to cover twice this year, and both times they didn't cover. So they have screwed me twice, just an FYI. Just put it out there.
What's the Gamecocks record against the spread?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't think I have to go back and look.
Why don't you look at that? I think they're right under 500 against the spread.
Either they're 500 or a game under 500.
Something along those lines. They're not very good. I know they were favored at Tennessee and lost. They were favored against North Carolina and lost that one. That's two for sure.
Yeah.
I think they did cover against
App State's
Charleston.
Three. They
App
covered
State's
against
three.
Georgia, obviously. They covered against Bama.
That's two. Charleston Southern would be three.
Missouri, they didn't cover.
That's four.
That's 3-4. What are we missing?
Kentucky, they
covered 4-4.
And Vanderbilt, they covered. So 4-5.
5-4.
5-4?
Yeah, 5-4.
But they, yeah, okay. Anyway, the Gamecocks aren't very good. But anyway, I don't know. Anyway. When you look at the problem with Wake Forest is that their defense is absolutely atrocious. I mean, they are terrible on defense. They gave up 59 points to Louisville. They gave up, 36 last week to Virginia Tech on the road in Blacksburg. I think the injuries have finally caught up with them, and that is a hell of a lot of points. But you also have to remember this, too. It's senior day for Clemson. Final game of the season in Death Valley. I think that Dabo Swinney will leave his players in a little bit longer and give those seniors a chance to go out there and make a final play at Death Valley. Isaiah Simmons is doing senior walk. I think with that, I don't know if Wake is going to score. I really don't. And people laugh at me when I say that, but no one's really scoring on Clemson. I think this year's Clemson defense is better. Will be looked at as better than last year's defense by the time the season is out, even though all those guys are in the NFL. I think as far as depth goes, I think they're that good. The Clemson offense is humming right now. Humming. Absolutely humming. So Trevor Lawrence is, you know, throwing darts again. And he's also running the ball a good bit too. But with that, I'm taking Clemson to cover the 32.5. Look for this game to be sort of like the NC State game last week. Ben says, "Will y'all start picking some over unders just for shits and giggles?" Yeah, we may do that next week. Not but put them on the pick 'em. David with a question of who scores more, the Clemson seniors or the Gamecocks? Look, for that South Carolina game, you could have a section of that team, especially the upperclassmen, that are like, you know what, to hell with this. I beat myself senseless, and we ain't winning no games. You could have that happen. But come on, Mike. They're kids, Mike. If they look up at the thing,
you know, they're going to come out that game, because if they lose this game this week and there's no bowl game, okay, and that's their game, and that's the last game for a lot of them, and they would love to go out and beat Clemson. I don't see that at all. We'll probably play our best game of the year against Clemson. Now, will that be good enough? It depends what Clemson does, okay? But I think they're going to play well in that game, and the question is, what does Clemson play like? Do they play their B game, their A game? Okay, if they play their A game, we're not beating them. They play their B game, we're not beating them. They play their C game, we got a shot if we play well. So they're going to play well. I'll be shocked if we come out there and look like we don't give two shits.
But if
that happens, then, you know, it may be time to go find someone with some money and tell Will to get on your way. Because that's telling if you can't get him up. Play well. That's how you're going to beat Clemson.
Did you see the body language in the App State game, though? They look like they didn't give a shit.
Well, that's App State, though, too. Trust me, that's a problem, too. I'm not saying that's forgivable. I'm just saying that, you know, whatever. If they come out like Clemson and look like they don't want to be there, then it may be time for us to go knock on Darla Moore's door and say, Darla, can you give us some $18 million, please, so we can...
Well, and with that, though, they don't have to pay that all at one time. They can pay that yearly, basically, or quarterly is what it basically boils down to. So it's not like they have to come up with an $18 million right up front. And they could get with Muschamp and see if he'll take a settlement where he gets a lump sum. But they would, in theory, I think it's like $375,000 a quarter or whatever. I don't know.
Well,
but
if I'm getting fired and I'm not selling for crap. you're going to owe me every damn dime, and I want it on my doorstep tomorrow.
Yeah, but I think the way the contract is set up is that they pay him by the quarter.
I'm not going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, let me make it easier on you guys. I don't know.
Well, anyway, Ben wants to hear, he says, let us hear your thoughts on the over-under for the Oklahoma-Baylor game. That's what he wants to hear, is your thoughts on that. It was funny because
what is David Furr talking about? Can you read that?
Donald Moore hasn't been on the BOT in 5 years, but yes, do that. I don't know what BOT means.
Board of Trustees. Like, so you only get money from people on the board?
Well, I don't know if Darla Moore cares about football or not, too.
But the way it sounds like, he hasn't been on the board. I don't know. There's dumbness in the room again. Shocking.
Anyway.
You got Ken Bellinger trying to tell me that George Mason's the Colonials. No, they're not to the Patriots. Google it and say, comrade, you were right again. Thank you.
Ben Simmons says it's at 68. He likes the under. You know what? I kind of like the under, too. I kind of like that. I think that game is going to be like 34-17 or something like that. So that might be interesting. You know, one of the locks that I had on the week for my show last week was Baylor and who was Baylor playing? Oh, and TCU. I took the over in that, right? And in that game, the over was like 50. It was right at 50. All right. They went into overtime, Mike, tied up at 9. After I was like, yeah, that's my lock of the week, blah, blah, blah. Then these assholes decide to score every possession in overtime, and it's like four overtimes.
College overtime is a joke.
And then
that's why that happens. Like, that's the worst thing in the world.
It ends up being 50, it was like 29 to 23. And then I end up winning that with 52 points. I was like, yeah, buddy. 9 going into regulation at the end of regulation, and then... Or 18 at the end of regulation, then they scored a combined 34. It's crazy. Yeah, Ken did say he was wrong. He said he was wrong. So there you go. You don't have to get all pissy.
There you go.
You don't have to get all pissy. All right. Well, there's the games. We will look forward to the big thing. Will the Gamecocks quit? That's going to be a huge thing this week. if you're a Gamecock fan, by the way, will they quit?
That's what I look for. That's one thing. That's one thing you can look for and say it's time for Coach to go.
If they go out and they lose 56-10, I think that you know, Mike Muse is already talking about doing spaghetti dinners to try to pay this thing off. I mean, he's dead serious about that. That's not a joke. I don't know if it'll get that far. We'll see. But I still think the Gamecocks lose this week. Too much shit's going on. I agree with Ben on that. All right, Mike, do you have anything else for this week's show?
That's it. Let's get it going, Gamecocks. It's time to run the table. Starts this week. Here we go. Let's save Boom's job.
Oh, God. That's so stupid. I'm just going to end the show with that. With that, it's a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.